Good evening, everybody. Oh, this smile is for the Mets bringing in the guy with the smile. Half of New York is smiling right now. Uncle Stevie came through. And weren't you just saying, Rick, on Tuesday, what's happening? Nothing's happened. Well, something happened. Okay? Boomer and Gio was on a hunger strike, and apparently Steve Cohen was listening because, you know, they went out and they made a trade for Francisco Lindor. And on top of that, also got Carlos Carrasco to be our number two pitcher in the rotation. Compared to trades they've made in the past, this is a steal. Obviously Lindor wants a long-term contract, and I would imagine that, you know, Steve's going to, you know, open his checkbook for that because, you know, the Indians are just looking to rebuild. You know, they're just looking to do a fire sale. They're even looking to get rid of their logo and their name. They're still billing them as the Cleveland Indians. So Francisco Lindor did come from the Indians. They've been saying it all day, but I thought that name went out the window. But Ahmed Rosario went over to Cleveland, you know, so he will be missed. You know, I did like him, but, you know, it's a talent like Lindor, you know, is great to have in a New York Mets uniform. Yeah, playing the field merch be damned today because it's Mets. It's Mets all the way today. I mean, you know, on the – Eve of Super Wild Card Weekend, I can't help but talk about baseball. For those of you who are just joining us, my name is Mike Katos. I'm the host, and alongside me is my co-host Rick Molina. Rick, how we think? You know, what are your thoughts on this blockbuster deal?
Well, good evening, everybody. Good evening to our viewers. Welcome to episode 46 of the Fan Experience Podcast. A jubilant episode 46 of the Fan Experience Podcast. Look, man, we talked about it on Tuesday. What's going on? You were talking about it, Gio. He went 35 hours and he had some emotional eating, and then I'm sure he ate a banquet after what happened this morning.
He ate a lot of Lindor chocolates,
probably. There you go. Yes, Lindor chocolates, but it's just a great move for the Mets. And, you know, this is great for the city. Bring some life back to the team. And it goes to show how Cohen operates, man. Everybody's pressuring him. Everybody's like, what's going on? Yours truly included. And here he comes in a blockbuster deal. I mean, to get Carlos Carrasco and Francisco Lindor for Matt Rosario and basically like a bag of potato chips.
Andres Jimenez. Right-handed prospect.
And, right, but they basically got him. They got him for nothing. I mean, they literally got
compared
him for nothing.
Compared to what we traded for Cano and what's his face? I can't remember his name. But he's horrible, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But the point is that the Mets make a big move and clearly improve the team right away. I don't know if you saw Mark and Stroman's tweet. He's ready to train.
Oh, yeah.
And this puts him right up there, man. This puts him right up there in contention for a playoff run. And it's good for the Mets and good for the city. And think about it. They just got, like you said, they got their number two pitcher, and they got a star. They got a name, and that's what matters, man. The Mets needed a name, they needed somebody like that, a player like with Lindor's talent, with a street cred out there. I mean, it's going to be great. And the Mets are going to be a fun team with Alonso out there and Conforto. They're going to be competitive. You got Syndergaard. Now you help DeGrom because he needs offense. He always gets into those 2-1 games and he loses those. Now, I see the Mets scoring more runs. That offense is going to be more potent. So that's just a tremendous move, tremendous trade. Good job by Sandy Alderson. Good job by the new Mets GM. What's his name? I forget what his name is.
Jared Porter.
I mean, the first big deal that he does, and he pulls
better
that
be
up.
Eating a porterhouse steak, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Oh, he's definitely. He's ordering a porterhouse steak, but it's just incredible. I mean, it's a great job, and finally the Met fan can rejoice, and finally the Met fan can say we're operating like a big market team. Yes, and it's good for the fans, and so congratulations to you. And the question is, what's next? What is next for the beloved Mets?
We need a center fielder, whether that be George Springer, who's asking for a
$175 million.
$175 million.
Listen, now, George, the lotto's 510. Why don't you go play that right now?
You know, just because Steve Cohen has money does not mean he's going to spend it, you know, like an idiot. I mean, let's just be real. He'd probably buy more Carvel Sundays with sprinkles for $175 million than pay for a player that's often injured. And, you know, I mean, let's not forget he was part of that cheating scandal. So it's like, you know,
listen,
let's but. Regardless,
he settled that with the SEC. Yeah. Let's move on from that.
No, I'm not talking about Steve Cohen. I'm talking about Springer. George Springer.
See that? Well, here's the other thing about that. Everybody wants Springer, but he's coming with some baggage, man. I mean, he's gonna have that, and the New York media
for that price. It's
right.
You know, and it's a lot.
Right, and the New York media is gonna be ruthless. Like they're gonna want to know what's going on, what's happening, anything little thing that happens with the Mets. They're going to say, hey, what's going on up there? So Springer's got to think long and hard if he wants to walk into this, you know, into this market and deal with what's going to come to him. Because, listen, they got off easy last year with COVID and nobody in the stands. But, you know, when fans are coming back and the media's going to be able to be in the locker rooms, you know, that's going to change. And he's going to have to deal with that. But for $175 million, I think he can handle it just fine.
Well, so, you know, there's the name of Jackie Bradley Jr. floating around there as well for the Mets at center field, which, you know, would definitely be nice to have that as a, you know, platoon over there with Nemo. Yeah. There's going to be a fight, you know, who's going to smile the biggest. Is it going to be Nemo or Lindor this year?
It's going to be, so it's going to be some fun out there in Citi Field.
Yeah. The Smile Brothers.
The podcast will be on location.
I mean, we might just set up studio there. I don't know. Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, I mean, let's see what happens for this baseball season, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, God willing, you know, let's get these vaccines rolling out and hopefully we can resume normal sports world life and, you know, put everything else and COVID, you know, behind us as much as we possibly can. Obviously, it's never going to go away 100%. But it is great news. And, you know, it's something that we don't get much of as Mets fans. So
there you go.
Yeah. So you want to hit us off with our a quick next topic or?
I'm excited. I'm excited for the playoffs, but wanted to talk about Deshaun Watson apparently telling his teammates that he's looking to get traded out of Houston after four seasons. And I think Deshaun Watson is starting to see, hey, listen, I got four seasons in the National Football League. I don't know how much longer I'm going to play. I mean, you see what happened with Dak. These injuries can happen at any moment. You get hurt and he doesn't want to waste any seasons. And he's looking around. He's saying, man, this team doesn't have nothing. I lost DeAndre Hopkins. What's going on over here? Mm-hmm. The organization's in a bit of transition.
Never had an offensive line.
Like, right.
Never had an offensive, I mean, since he's gotten drafted.
Right, they traded for Laremy Tunsil, but that's about it. So, you know, Deshaun Watson's got to start thinking for himself and saying, look, I've been here 4 years. I've given him everything he got. I've gotten hurt, and I don't have anything around me, and I got to go somewhere where I can win. And we were having this conversation just a little while ago, and there are a couple of landing spots that are good for him, but I think for Deshaun Watson, a good spot might be Denver for him. You got Jerry Jeudy over there. You got what's it? PJ Hamler's his name, I think. I
can't. KJ Hamler, you still
KJ got Hamler, right? So he's got some Noah Fant out there.
Melvin Gordon.
So he's got some talent out there. You know, Fangio's a defensive coach.
Melvin Gordon did pretty good, you know, considering the rest of the team. So
yeah,
you know,
so that's a landing spot for him. But I think Deshaun Watson's going to make a decision, in the next couple of months for the draft, and he might just say, hey, it's time. You know, I need to get traded. And then the question is, who's going to offer Houston? Because to get Deshaun Watson, Houston's going to – you got to give him a boatload. But, you know, we'll wait and see. It's going to be an interesting offseason in the National Football League. But playoffs first.
Yep, absolutely. So in honor of the playoffs, and then there's that first game on Saturday, we're going to bring on a member of the Bills Mafia. Joining us now is Ashwin Narukar. Did I get it right? I got it good?
Yes.
All right, perfect. Ashwin. Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for coming on.
Same here.
So you rocking the Bills jersey. You're all ready for this this game.
Freddie Jackson. And don't worry, I have a table next to me, but I will not be jumping through this table. I want to make it to the end of the podcast.
There we go. I appreciate it. No, but thank you again for coming on. So, talk to us a little bit about the backstory of how you were born and raised in New Jersey, correct?
Yeah. Actually, so, Louisiana. I was born in Louisiana.
Louisiana.
A lot.
Okay. So Louisiana, and then you ended up becoming a Heat, and then obviously also a Bills fan. So, walk us through that and how that transpired.
Absolutely. So, I was born in Louisiana. I actually moved out to Cincinnati next. So right there, I had the options of becoming either a Saints fan or a Bengals fan. But, given the choices, I think Saints so far, they won a Super Bowl, right? You can't say the same about the Bengals or the Bills. But now if you look to where I lived in Buffalo, now the story with Buffalo is I lived there in the mid-90s, right? So right after the Super Bowls. And the story, the question I'm always asked is, why do you still remain a Bills fan after the 4 Super Bowl losses? But to be fair, when I lived in Buffalo and when I started watching the Bills, this was all after. It all transpired afterwards. Mm-hmm. So the first quarterback that I know is Doug Flutie. And Doug Flutie, to me, is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And I'm not even referring to the Hail Mary in college. I'm referring to just seeing someone in that size, right? And he's achieving such gigantic feats in the game. It's incredible. So to me, I'm not comparing Doug Flutie to Josh Allen because there's a huge size difference. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I do see some characteristics very similar between the two as far as being a leader, taking command of the team, and just the way they play the game, So I know I kind of went off.
No. Hey, this is
No. You're good.
You're whatever you want to say, let's just, just go and say it, you're talking about your teams, talk about your passions, and, sure. That's what the fan experience is here for. So, let's talk a little bit about, obviously, growing up a Bills fan, rooting for the Bills, and always being in the Patriots shadow until this year. So, talk to us about that, that emotional ride over the last few years with Josh Allen continually improving, and then obviously the Bills locking up the number 2 seed and going into a wild card, a rare number 2 seed wild card game on wild card weekend. So talk to us about that.
Yeah. So Josh Allen, as soon as I saw him drafted by us and I saw him play, mind you, the quarterback that we had was Nathan Peterman at the time.
Don't we remember that?
I'm going to throw that out there, but that will be the last mention of Nathan Peterman, hopefully, in this podcast. But when I can only laugh because we have Josh Allen now. If we didn't have Josh Allen, uh-huh, I'd be crying right now. So, but anyway, no. So Josh Allen, I've been defending him since day one. Granted, he has had a lot of turnover-prone games in his first 2 years. I think that game against the Texans, really, he needed to go through that. And and I'll compare it to LeBron James, for instance. When LeBron went to the finals for the first time with that Cavaliers team, with Varejao, Ogauskas, against the Spurs, what happened to them? They got swept 4-0. So to me, it's very similar of Josh Allen going into Houston to battle Deshaun Watson, because there weren't any weapons on that Bills team. And he essentially tried to win that game on his own. But Now, you know, entering Saturday, we have a bona fide number one receiver, Stephon Diggs. We have a better running game in Singletary and Moss. We also have a defense in the last 2 years. Some people might put them as a top three or top five defense. They did start off a little, shaky, but early on in the season. But I feel now in the last four or five games, I mean, you guys seen it. We've been holding teams under 20 points. So when the offense and the defense are clicking like that, I got to say, man, there's the sky is the limit for this team. So I'm very hopeful. But at the same time, I'm a Bills fan. I don't want to get too overly excited. But I will say I'm very I think that the Colts are the perfect first round opponent for us when compared to the other teams that we could have potentially faced, like the Ravens, the Titans. Those are much harder. You would want to face them in the second round more than the first. So,
yeah. Okay. Ashton, let me ask you this. What do you predict when they go to Kansas City for the AFC Championship? In the playoffs.
You're putting me on the spot already. What is it?
Yeah, 100%. Because you're talking Bills, you're talking playoffs. I think the Bills are built to beat a team like that. And I just want to know, are you confident enough that you think your team can go into Arrowhead Stadium? Now, mind you, they're not going to be 70,000 people there. It's going to be a couple thousand people there.
True.
You think they can pull it off and go to a Super Bowl?
So my prediction up until now was the AFC Championship.
It's okay.
Only been the AFC Championship because, again, you're expecting to see the Chiefs.
Yeah. But
before I came on the show, I thought of a good argument, and I want you to run it by you and see if you guys agree.
Yeah.
If you were to compare quarterbacks, Josh Allen versus Mahomes, you clearly have to give the nod to Mahomes just because he's already won the Super Bowl. He's an MVP. But
making $500 million.
Well, that too. I mean,
yeah,
he owns part of a baseball team.
Exactly. So, but what I will say is Josh Allen also is not too far behind. I'm not putting him ahead, but where I think the Bills have a chance to potentially beat the Chiefs, it comes down to the defense. Because if you look at the defense of the Bills, and you look at the defense of the Chiefs, you cannot tell me Kansas City's defense matches up with the talent on the Bills. And I think when you factor that in, it's going to, let's say if you were to level out Mahomes and Allen.
Yeah.
I think Josh Allen has the potential to score more points against that Kansas City defense versus Mahomes, as great as he is, putting up major points on that Bills defense if they play to their full potential. Mm-hmm. Because we have a lockdown corner, Tre'Davious White. We got, the best safety tandem in the league, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. Poyer got snubbed in the Pro Bowl. I was very annoyed by that. But that's another whole other story. And then, Ed Oliver, like, I'm waiting for him to just be unleashed. And I'm saying, like, I think the defense is going to make it such a good game because, like I said, I'm giving the nod to Mahomes. So I don't want anyone coming after me during this podcast and saying, are you crazy? You think Josh Allen is better than Mahomes? No.
Yeah,
I'm giving the credit to where it is. But what I will say is the defense is going to make the game closer than a lot of people think.
All right. Okay, I'm with you on that. I think the Bills are a rugged team, and I think with Stephon Diggs, I think the question is,
I think if they can get to the AFC Championship game,
if the Chiefs walk in, they're sort of like kind of going through the motions. You got a shot,
yeah.
But it's going to be good. So tell me about this. So you were a Bills fan, and somehow along the way you became a Miami Heat fan. Now we've had a lot of like Heat fans on this show. Yeah. I don't know what it is about this podcast that Heat fans come on. So tell us about how you became a Miami Heat fan.
Sure. So It was actually when I first started watching basketball. It was in 2003, right? It's the year that Dwayne Wade was drafted.
Okay.
And, I randomly turned on the TV, and there was an NBA game. It was on the Miami Heat versus the New York Knicks. And I got to tell you, it was something about watching the Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
And just those red and black jerseys for me. I know you're. I don't know if how many people pick a team just because of the jerseys that they rock.
But, that happens a lot lately.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. More than you think, for sure.
But anyway, D Wade. Let me tell you, that guy can ball, and he had one of the best finals performances in 2005, 2006. Granted, a lot of Mavericks fans would say, "How many times did he go?" Get the free throw line calls, but I still think he took over that series when we were down 2-0 to the Mavs from game 3 through game 6. If I compared him to, people thought I was crazy, I compared him to Jordan in that final series. Just the numbers he put up. The numbers he put up was insane. And to see him retire last year, that hurt. It really did. Because Dwayne Wade is a legend, sure, Hall of Famer. I'm very appreciative that I'll be seeing him on the TNT with Chuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Inside the NBA, yeah.
Yep. But, yeah, like I said, Dwayne Wade is that dude. So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, hey. I mean, I guess it was hard to go with the Knicks.
All right. All right.
I mean, But the Knicks are doing well right now.
Oh, yeah, so, and I'll get into that later.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'm going to get 2 minutes on that in a minute.
Yeah, you'll get your 2 minutes.
So, guys, I don't know if we have a set, plan the rest of the podcast. I feel this is the perfect time for me to bring this up. I have a paper here that I wanted to bring my own material. And what it is I've been a Bills fan since the mid-90s. And I've been a Heat fan since 2003. And so I'm watching these teams. I came up with some similarities between the two teams.
Oh,
they get very deep.
Go ahead.
Run with it.
Go ahead. Run with it, man. No. Tell everyone what they're doing here.
I have 7 bullet points. I want you to tell me after each one, am I reaching or am I teaching? If I'm reaching, there's not really a comparison there. But if I'm teaching, then I could be like, you know what? You're on to something.
Okay.
So let's go. Let me go through it. I know I surprised you right here.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Really spiked it up a little bit. Yeah.
You came prepared for as a host here. Look at this. came prepared with your own content. Awesome.
Let's go with it. Starting off, Buffalo Bills, 4 straight Super Bowls. Miami Heat, 4 straight NBA Finals with LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. Am I reaching or am I teaching?
I think I want to say you're reaching there.
Yeah, man. I think you're reaching.
Okay. You know,
the Bills never had a player of, compared like the greatness of LeBron James. I mean, they had Jim Kelly, but they are Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed.
Just a, funny coincidence.
Yeah.
We'll call it a coincidence.
Right.
They get better, though. They get better.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Second. The culture and the hierarchy and the organizations. For the Heat, you got Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra. For the Bills, you have Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. Now, the relationship between a general manager and a head coach is very, very important to the success of an organization.
Yep.
Am I reaching or am I teaching in comparing those two? Granted, they both came from Carolina, so they do have that prior experience.
I'll give you the teaching on that one. Like, I don't know. That's more than a funny coincidence. That's kind of...
that's cool. Because they're going to get very more specific, but here we go.
I'll give you that one.
I'll give you that one. All right.
Defensive-minded coaches. Eric Spoelstra is very defensive-oriented. Sean McDermott, the same way, coming out of Carolina, very defensive-oriented. Do you think that defensive-oriented coaches have greater success than the offensive ones?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Defense wins championship.
I'll give you two. Bill Parcells and the man himself, Bill Belichick. Uh-huh. But yeah, I'm with you on that one.
All right. Next one. Both teams are actually looking for a naming rights sponsor. Miami Heat play in American Airlines Arena. Formerly, the Buffalo Bills play in New Era Field. Formerly. Is it a coincidence that both of these teams are looking for new sponsors?
You're reaching on that one, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a coincidence out of nowhere, but yeah, you're reaching on that one.
That is a reach. Yeah. That is a reach.
I mean, if they're both airlines and they both dropped them, I mean,
yeah.
Fair enough. The biggest thing is the block trades. So Antonio Brown, if you remember, was supposed to go to the Bills.
Yes.
That trade did not happen. Russell Westbrook was supposed to go to the Heat. That trade was vetoed. Did not happen. The Heat went to the finals. Now, Antonio Brown got blocked. So by that logic, am I reaching or am I teaching? I think that's a reach.
Reaching, however, there is a chance that Antonio Brown still makes it to the Super Bowl.
You're reaching only because I think if Antonio Brown would have gone to the Bills at the time, they weren't ready for a player like that.
Right.
So they didn't have the infrastructure for a guy like Antonio Brown.
Diggs
was a much better.
The timing was better on Diggs, much better, and a much better player and a much better locker room guy.
Sounds good. Yeah. That actually perfect segue, man. Holy crap.
Yeah.
The next thing that I was going to say is how the media views the two star players that recently joined my teams. Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Buckets, was always seen as a cancer in the locker room and not a team player. Stephon Diggs, he's a diva. He's a problem. He has problems with the quarterbacks and team management. Jimmy Butler, according to Tyler Hero with the Heat, he's been called the greatest teammate he has ever played with.
He is a rookie, but
fair enough. I'll give you that.
But no, I got nothing but love for Tyler Hero. I think he's going to be he's going to be a great player in the league. But I don't know if I would, say teaching. It is definitely a funny coincidence again. But I definitely was surprised that Diggs ended up, not being a little prima donna like he was in the Vikings. But I did also have a sense that Cousins was the culprit there.
He feels like a target issue because he kept on giving the ball to Thielen and feeding Diggs.
Well, yeah. Thielen wasn't getting fed either. They both were yelling and kicking and screaming last year. It's just Cousins just needs to. I don't know.
He needs to retire. I'm with. I think teaching on that one. Look, I think that.
I'll let you go ahead, but I just want
to. I don't know that they were bad. I think Jimmy Butler's a winner, and he sees the guys that he was like Diggs, like he wants to win. The guys he's playing around.
Right.
Like in the Sixers, he's got Joel Embiid, doesn't really take it seriously. Simmons doesn't shoot a three.
Right.
He was with the Timberwolves and they weren't going anywhere. He was at the Bulls and he wanted to win. They weren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
So he's upset because he's like, look, man, I play to win and I'm playing with these guys. Yep. And now he's with the Heat and it's an organization that has structure. Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, they win. He's happy there. Diggs, same thing. He's like, yo, my quarterback sucks. I want to win. He keeps throwing it. I'm the best player on this team.
Yep.
And we're not winning. So he gets traded, and look at him now. He's happy. He's content. He's getting the ball. He's a team player.
Absolutely.
A lot of that locker room stuff, there's some guys who are bad guys. Antonio Brown must have been like a real bad dude.
Yeah.
But a lot of it goes to all of a sudden like the situation, like these guys are not playing to my level. Like, of course I'm going to be upset. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I got one left, and I think this is probably the biggest coincidence of them all, but you be the judge.
Okay.
So you guys remember back in 2013, NBA Finals Game 6.
Yes.
What happened to the Miami Heat fans early on in that game?
Game 6. That's the Spurs series, right?
Yes.
Do you remember?
I can't recall.
Was that the fourth time? Was that the last one that they went to before LeBron left?
2014 as well, but.
Oh, 2014. So they wasn't games in game 6. Weren't they getting ready to do the celebration on the court?
Yes.
And they had security and everything with like, and they were getting, people were like getting ready to leave because the Bingo. Spurs are about to win. Yeah. Bingo.
You got it.
I remember watching that. Yeah.
The fans were leaving early.
Yeah.
Let's go to another game, this time with the Bills. Do you remember that game going way back with the?
Yes, 93, 35-3.
Is that the game? The Oilers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What happened in there?
I saw that game. There was 35-3. Warren Moon had just thrown a touchdown at the beginning of the second half. It was 35-3.
You got
I don't know if Frank Reich threw a pick or it was a. Right. It was 35-3, and people left.
I just watched the highlights to that the other day.
They left.
Yeah.
And Frank Reich leads them down the field. I don't know if he hit Andre Reed or it might have been James Lofton. It was 30. And then all of a sudden, they started coming back.
Piling.
It just kept piling and piling. And before you know it, it was like complete mayhem over there.
Gotcha.
And and they kick a field goal in overtime to win it. But I remember watching that game at home. I was like, unbelievable comeback.
Now, imagine if they had FanDuel back then.
Wow.
What are those odds?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. That would have been crazy.
Was that a reach or a teach? I mean,
no, that's a teach,
that's
man.
That's a teach. That's a teach. I'm with you on that. 100% teach. On that one.
All right.
I remember watching that game.
That's it right there. Both scrappy teams.
Yep.
You like both of them. Both got pretty kick-ass uniforms. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I kind of like the Bills uniform. And
both had some luck because, you know, Tim Duncan in that series, in that game, he missed a bunny layup.
Yes.
And he couldn't get the I think he was off the floor when that rebound kicked out to Allen, and Allen hits the three. And in that Bills game, BB's running down the sideline. He stepped out of bounds, and he came back in, and Frank Wright hits him for a bomb, and all of a sudden it was just pure chaos. And it was, you know – and then they went to the Rose Bowl and played the Cowboys, and they got bombed. So,
yeah, well.
As you can tell, Mike, I'm showing my age over here. But go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
That's it. That was like a fun trivia.
That was a nice little segment. Trivia.
Yeah. So here's a question I have for you as a Bills fan.
Okay.
The Music City Miracle, was it a lateral?
I am going to save face and not comment on that because I don't want these comments. I don't want to, you know, eat my words later on, but we'll save that for the next time I come on.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. Okay. All right. Perfect. So let's talk a little bit about your background. Sure. So you were in the financial industry and now what are you doing?
So now I'm actually, investing a little bit on the side, and it's great, let me tell you, man. I love doing the research on the markets. I love looking for the trends. I love just, you know, making my money work for me. And it's great because the way I see it, and I don't know if people are going to disagree with me or not, but I feel like I could not retire on the job. I feel I needed to take matters into my own hands and retire just by the, you know, just by my investments. So I took it into my own hands. I did get another job. It's closer to home. And in the meantime, I'm growing my portfolio and hoping to determine my retirement age and not the typical 40 years.
Okay.
That's awesome, man.
No, more power to you, man.
I appreciate
it. As long as you're having fun and you can get by and have a living, like, just do it. You know, I mean, your life's too short to, you know, to have to worry about, you know, being somewhere you just don't like. So, you know, whatever the case is, you know, I mean, we're doing this thing for free right now. Like, you know, right now, we're not.
You can, you know, if you want, you know.
happened? Well, I mean, that's the plan, obviously. I mean, but yeah, eventually we'll be doing these shows in the afternoons.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're looking to build up this show. We're looking to build up playing the field. I know we spoke about that.
Yep.
For those of you who are joining us, Playing the Field is a sports fan community. Go join now at playthefielddating.com to find sports fans to connect with, where you can buddy up, recruit teammates, or find your MVP. Playthefielddating.com. It's on the web now. Mobile apps will be out in the next few months. All right, so I got that quick plug in there. So you got any bullish stocks?
Say it again.
Bullish stocks for us?
Hey, the way the market is looking right now, I'm a little concerned, but I have a lot of dividend stocks. I'll tell you this: I had a lot of my portfolio in growth stocks. I made the switch to dividends just because I felt a little trepid. I wasn't sure which way we were going, especially the other day with, you know, everything that happened there. But I will say I'm leaning towards Bitcoin, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, because
there's a lot of people out there that think it's going to go up to 500,000. I mean, but, you know, I haven't personally delved into it.
See, the thing is, I think the more stimulus that goes out for these, for the unemployment and just the more the checks that go out, obviously, you guys know that the value of money is going down. So because of that, just printing extra money, it's, it's becoming devalued. So if we move to Bitcoin, I think that's why they're saying like that's going to be the next major thing. But again, who can predict? You know, you can't predict a stock. You can't predict Bitcoin, but you just have to, I guess, try to
think logically. Yeah, no, I mean, you got to read between the lines. And, you know, obviously that's what, all these stockbrokers do and things like that, you know, and those day traders and things. But, you know, I mean, it, you know, sounds, you know, makes sense, you know, it's with the whole, you know, extra money. But yeah, I just, I don't know. I still feel it's a little volatile. Gotcha. You know, I'm not too sold on the Bitcoin.
Fair enough.
Rick, what do you think about
it? Yeah, I shall refrain from getting into all that, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what it does. I have no idea what that does. So I will I will refrain from that. But speaking of picking things, what do you think? You know, we're talking a little NBA, the Miami Heat. What do you think of the Heat's chances of getting to the finals again this year? You know, they went to the finals last year, Tyler Hero second year, Duncan Robinson, Jimmy Butler's back, 72-game season. Are they the team to beat in the East?
Do not take away my fandom. I am a Miami fan, day in, day out.
If you're giving me a tip on who to place a parlay on.
my answer is no. I don't think the
Miami
will return to the finals. And I have a couple reasons for that. I know I shocked two of my boys who are watching this. They're both Lakers fans because I always talk about the Heat going to the finals every year. But that's just the fan in me. Okay. Now, I do have two reasons why I don't think the Heat will make it back there.
Okay.
One
is the Knicks.
Sorry, Mike.
No, I'm a Knicks fan. I mean, I don't really, pay attention as much as Rick does, but
I am a Knicks fan. I bleed blue and orange. But go ahead, Ashford.
Yeah, me too.
The first reason is the bubble. I mean, I will admit that the bubble was our home court all last year. The bubble was our home court. And because if you think about it, we avoided two road games against Indiana. Two road games against the Bucks and three road games against Boston. So when you put it like that, I mean, that's the only reason I feel. Well, actually, I shouldn't say the only reason, but that was a major reason why the Heat were able to advance, because they didn't have to deal with fans, they didn't have to deal with the road atmosphere,
right?
And it's a neutral zone, and so I think in that sense, that's why the Heat were able to advance. Now, I would like to say the second reason why we're not going to make it back, shortest offseason in NBA history. Mm-hmm. We literally finished the finals in October, and then we started again in December, like Christmas time. And you think about it, like, granted, the teams that either didn't make the bubble or and I think this is why the Knicks are playing so well, because
here we go. Making excuses. You good.
But no, in all seriousness, I think the teams that didn't advance farther, I think they had a little more time to rest up, to prepare, to get everything together. The Heat don't have their legs under them. They're literally on. I'm surprised if they're gonna make it to the end of the season without injury. I really am, because the off season, it hurt us. But I would be very pleased to be wrong in this situation. But those are the two reasons why I don't think the Heat are going to make it back to the finals.
All right. So as a trader, as a stock prognosticator, who is your pick that the Los Angeles Lakers win again?
I think the Lakers are going to three-peat.
Wow.
And they're going
to, so he catches Jordan.
Yes.
There it is, folks.
Yeah.
The first prediction I've heard that LeBron catches Jordan.
Yeah, LeBron is going to retire with three rings, and they are going to three rings with the Lakers. And especially the pieces the Lakers added this year. I mean, they got better. Like, you win a title, and then you get even better. Like, that's, to me, I see them going back this year and the following year. So, but as far as the East goes, flip a coin. I'm not picking the Bucks, surprisingly. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but I just feel they've always been a regular season team. I don't think when it comes to the playoffs, again, they did add pieces, so they did improve.
Yeah.
But when it comes to playoffs, I think the Bucks will fold under pressure.
See, I hold on, Mike, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I think we are all forgetting about one team, and that's the Brooklyn Nets, KD and Kyrie.
Yeah.
So before we talk,
they're off to a, you know, not they're a off stellar, to a, eh. But they so do.
They're rusty.
Does KD Durant has COVID? I heard, right?
Something like that, or he was around somebody
contact.
On COVID.
Yeah, he was a close but contact.
Let's not forget that there's a team in Brooklyn who's right now they're just finding their sea legs.
No, well, of course.
Once you get them in a 7-game series,
right? I would take them over in Milwaukee. I would.
There you go. I said, would you take them over the Lakers? I mean, over the Lakers. That's a good matchup. I mean, Dinwiddie got hurt.
He's got the Lakers three-peating. So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's got the Lakers three-peating. So let's hold off on the Lakers. But
yeah,
I don't want to step on Mike's thunder over here. Go ahead, Mike.
No. All good. So I actually lost my
train of thought.
Is it?
Is it prediction time? You want to do predictions, Mike?
Yeah.
I love how we're just randomizing things on the show. This is great, man.
Yeah, let's do predictions. And Tanner, do you want to join us for predicting? Thumbs up if you want to.
Thumbs up if you want to get in here, Tanner.
All right, Tanner, how you doing? Okay.
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
So, super. Tanner, thanks for joining us. Tanner is our newest intern. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the team.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And, so super wild card weekend, you know. You pumped?
Yeah, super, super stoked about super wild card weekend. Pretty wild series of events that we had going on. And so, you know, I guess that creates a pretty wild series of events for wild card weekend. So.
Right? Yeah, I think there's going to be a couple of shockers this weekend.
Well, I know one game there won't be a shocker.
Here we go. So should we go? All right. So, Mike, how are we going to do this?
We're going to pick all six. You know, okay. We usually do five, but there's six games. We should do our due diligence. We can pick the winner, and we can pick against the spread too. You know, depending on which way it goes.
So the let's 1 o'clock game on Saturday.
1 o'clock game Saturday, which, mind you, I think the NFL did the Bills dirty. At the number two seed against a good team in the Colts,
yeah,
and getting 1 o'clock Saturday billing, you know, I think they deserve to play on Sunday, but that's just me. I don't think, like, you know, the Saints versus the Bears is more marquee than the Bills and the Colts should be. But
I thought you were going to talk about the 1 o'clock game, but as a Bills fan, I'm used to 1 o'clock games, so this is perfect.
Yeah, but 1 o'clock Sunday makes more sense than 1 o'clock Saturday. That's just my feeling. So the Bills are favored by 6.5. So I like the Bills 6.5 to win and to cover the 6.5.
I'm with you on that. I'm taking that just because of what I've seen in the last 3-4 games. You know, like really obliterating teams, and it seems like the offense is clicking. So I'm with you on that. Bills minus 6.5.
You know, you guys just underestimate the Colts here. Phillip Rivers, Jonathan Taylor, Frank Reich is the coach. All right. I'm gonna take Indianapolis plus 6.5. I think they cover. I don't think they get blown out in this game by a touchdown. Right. I think it's gonna be close, it's gonna be competitive. Okay. But I like Indianapolis plus 6.5. Tanner.
Rick, I gotta agree with you. I think it's gonna be close. But no, I definitely do not have the Colts taking this one. First of all, you know, senior at University of Wyoming, huge Bills fan simply because of Josh Allen. He's like the only person that's come out of Wyoming that's done anything, which is super sick. so there's that in itself.
About you.
Wait a minute. We drafted Rob. Didn't we draft Rob Moore from the Jets did like years ago from Wyoming? I think we did. Yeah. Was it Rob Moore? I'm not sure.
Yeah, did he win anything?
No.
I haven't even heard of him. So
yeah. I have to go back to that, but yeah. So you're with me. You got Colts plus 6.5.
No, I got Bills all day.
Oh, you got the Bills. I got the Bills winning.
Be close.
Yeah. I'm saying close. I think the Colts cover though, but I don't think they win.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I could agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the playoffs. It's gonna be close. Yeah. I keep it close.
Yeah.
All right. Game number two.
Yep.
The Rams.
Yeah. You go.
Travel to Seattle to play the Seahawks. 4:40 p.m. The Seahawks are favored minus 3.5. Tanner, you go ahead. You can start it off first. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, I will. So this one's super interesting. We don't know if Jared Goff is going to be there or not. I'm not sure if it's going to make a huge difference. him being hurt. So let's say he does come back. How healthy is he going to be? I don't know. I haven't been super impressed with his play throughout the year anyways. And so I think with a not 100% Jared Goff coming back against a Seattle offense that has Russell Wilson, who I think is kind of out to prove something. I really do, especially with the talk at the beginning of the season of how well he was playing. And then they kind of just completely lost pace after Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen is now in the mix too for MVP. Like all these quarterbacks have kind of just started running off with it. And so I've got Seahawks all day. I'm taking the Seahawks line too. I think they're gonna blow out the Rams, and I even if Goff's playing, I think that.
All right, cool. Ashwin,
you take the next.
I'm with you on the winner. I'm taking the Seahawks because again, we don't know the status of Goff, but I respect the hell out of that Rams defense, and so I'm taking the Rams line, but Seahawks to pull out the W. So
wow, okay.
Yeah. All right. Mikey Mike.
Yeah. So, you know, I agree with you, Ashwin, that, you know, that Rams defense is for real. Russell Wilson did start off horrendously slow in this past game against the Niners.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
But now they're going to be playing in Seattle, and it's the playoff football. But it doesn't matter. It's a different beast, different atmosphere.
Yep.
If it was anything higher than 3.5,
yep,
I would pick the Rams. But 3.5, I have to go with the Seahawks. I think definitely winning by 4 or more.
No field goal? Field goal?
Nah, because also remember, the Rams also have a kicker that's hurt, which means that missed extra points are a possibility, which means the playoff might not even play into account there.
Okay.
All right. So, Mike, 3 weeks ago, you and I texting back and forth on the phone, watching a game that we thought that our team, the beloved New York Jets, was going to get out blown out by 40 points.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I sat there and watched Aaron Donald get shoved around by Mekhi Becton. You and I sat there and saw Perriman and Mims, and all of a sudden
I think everyone saw it, but we
everybody
we
saw it, but you and I specifically saw it. And we were there saying, what's going on? And all of a sudden, the Jets put 30 points on them. And then Frank Gore sneaks out of the backfield on the 3rd and 5 and catches a first down. And you and I are saying, what the hell was going on? And we just lost Trevor Lawrence, the blonde bomber from Clemson. And now you're telling me that the Rams are going to go into Seattle and make this game close with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I'm sorry, with Jared Goff and his broken thumb. Not happening, boys.
Yeah,
the Seahawks are going to win. They're going to win comfortably. I have no faith in the Rams. The shine is off on Sean McVay. That the run is done. Give me the Seahawks minus 3.5, winning this game comfortably.
Yeah, I'm totally with you, Rick.
Yeah, the Rams are a fraud. They cost us the number one pick.
I don't know what the what's the over under on it.
The over under on it is
42.
42.
Yeah, go against the grain. So just so you guys know.
It's all right. But I never want to hear about the Rams
over
again.
Under 42. I can't pick the under. I would just stay away from that. But anything higher than that, I probably would go with the under. I don't think it's going to be high scoring. Okay, next game we got Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers visiting the 7-9 Washington football team. Washington football teams gets they get that that home field advantage because that's the rules.
Yeah.
But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are favored by 8 going into Washington. Ashwin, you can start this one.
Sure. I hate to give any credit to the quarterback I'm about to name, but
come on, talk about Alex all you want.
See him defeat my team so many times. I know not to question Tom Brady. I'm riding with the Bucs, and I'm taking that spread.
Okay.
8 points. Okay. You know what? I mean, I'll go. Okay. Yeah, Tampa Bay is going to win by 10 or more.
Yeah.
Okay. That was pretty quick.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet.
Yeah.
Tanner?
I got to take Tampa Bay, too. But I actually think it might be a little bit closer of a game simply because I was reading a little bit earlier today that Brady, he's 4-4, away during, playoff games. And so, and I'm with you too, Ashwin. Like, I don't like to bet against Brady ever, especially in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, being a Denver fan for as long as I have and watching him consistently win, it frustrates me just as much as I'm sure it frustrates you. Like, I totally get it, but I think you have to respect
all of us.
you definitely have to respect him. And so I got to take the Bucks for sure in this one, but I actually do think that it's going to be a closer game. So,
Washington plus 8.
Yep. Yeah. So I think Washington over.
Wow. You guys forget this is playoff Sunday. Chase Young said, I want Brady.
Yeah, he did.
The kid went out on a limb and said, I want Brady.
People say all they want. I mean, Chase Young hasn't been to a playoff game.
Tom Brady's going to be 42 degrees. And if, as Tanner,
and
you
Brady
know,
can't play Brady, in 42 degrees.
If I may.
Mind you, he hasn't been a Buck his whole life.
If I may, Brady, Tanner, you know this as being a Bronco fan. Guy can't win in those kind of cold weather games. Gets cold up there. Brady's a little older.
He's had home field advantage his entire career.
If I may, Brady's going to go to Washington, and he's going to see a defensive line that reminds people of the 07 and the 11 Giants. He's going to go out there, and he's going to sit back in that pocket, and Chase Young and all those guys are going to come after him. And the question is, will Brady be able to stay there? Will that they'll be able to handle that rush? But at the end of the day, this is a playoff game. I do not see Tampa Bay blowing out the Redskins like that. Now, who's going to start at quarterback for the Redskins? I think it'll be Alex Smith. I think this game is closer than people think. It's going to be competitive going into the fourth quarter, but I think they pull away. But I think Washington covers the 8. They don't win, but they cover the 8.
Yeah.
And that's what I say.
You started off that rant like Washington was going to win that game.
I know. I thought you were going to win.
I had to lead you on.
All right.
I'll say this. If the game is tight in the fourth quarter in FedEx Field, if it's tight, they can pull it off. But it's not going to be – they're not going to blow them out.
But beware, everybody. The game is in Washington, and people tend to get their legs broken there.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks. So let's just –
again.
No, let's just hope nothing bad happens.
Yeah. All right. Sunday, 1 o'clock.
We got a
heavyweight fight. Hey. We got the Baltimore Ravens traveling to Tennessee. Baltimore is
– DH2K.
DH2K. Baltimore is actually favored, -3.5. I'm going to start this off first. I'm taking the upset. If Tennessee gets a lead, Baltimore ain't coming back. If it's 7-0, 10-0,
saying that all year, so
they're not coming back. So I'm taking Tennessee to get a lead. Derrick Henry to run for over 150 yards, and on their way they go. Ashwin,
perfect. I was hoping you would ask me. First of all, I just want to point out that I am so happy we are the 2 seed. Because if we had to face any of these teams in the first round, I would be so disappointed. But on that note, I'm taking the Ravens. Wow. And the reason why I'm taking the Ravens is because
with the 3.5?
With the three and a half?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because that taste is still in Lamar Jackson's mouth. And this is the perfect game for him to get revenge. The new year. And he has to prove something. He hasn't won a playoff game yet in his career.
0-3.
MVP with 0 playoff wins. So I'm riding with the Ravens, and I'm taking the spread on that. So,
Okay. Tanner, my friend.
Yeah, you know, Ashwin, I like that take. I do think that he has something to prove. But to be honest with you, I also think that Tannehill has something to prove. You know, he takes Mariota's job. This is a massive game for him. I think that this really will staple him as the starter for next year 100% if he hasn't already. I mean, they've had a great year. Yep. I got to take the Titans in this one too. I just think that with Derrick Henry in the backfield, the way that he's been playing, I mean, I legitimately haven't seen almost any team be able to legitimately stop Derrick Henry. I mean, and that's a real thing. And so I think that, like Rick had said, if they get a lead, I don't think Lamar's going to bring him back, even though he did have that wild game where he went back in the locker room. Who knows what he was doing in there? And then
he was taking a shit.
He was dropping a deuce.
Yeah. But so who knows? You know, there's always that. You never know. But I think that the Titans will take it. I do.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't make me the lone wolf, Mike. Don't make me.
He was definitely dropping a deuce.
Oh, yeah.
And this Sunday, he's going to be dropping a dub on the Tennessee Titans.
Wow. Okay.
However, the Tennessee Titans will keep it close, and it will be decided by a field goal by Justin Tucker's leg because he's the best in the game, and it's going to come down to the wire. But Lamar Jackson will end up on top in that game.
I see Derrick Henry.
And Derrick Henry is going to have his field day. Do not get me wrong.
But he will forearm somebody.
Defense does not, you know, it doesn't impress me.
So,
you know, and Lamar Jackson, of all the people and of all the offenses to keep Derrick Henry off the field, Lamar Jackson and that rushing attack in Baltimore will keep Derrick Henry off that field as much as they can. And you can't be beat by somebody that doesn't take the field.
You got a point.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry will throw somebody into the ground. Somebody will.
I will give you that. I'll give you the over under of 3.5 on that too.
Because there will be a grown man flying through the field.
What's the next question? Who's the next team?
I will agree that Derrick Henry's gonna, you know, make somebody go flying. Oh my goodness, this next game. The Saints are home against Mitchell Trubisky and the Chicago Bears. The Saints are favored by 10. Alvin Kamara will be playing in this game. I guess I'll start this one off. The Saints are going to go marching down the field all game long. They're probably going to win by 28 to 30 points.
Yeah.
Here, 2 seconds. Saints minus 10. Done.
Yeah.
I have to disagree.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to do like NFL. Oh, you got to do
long. Yeah. Wolf. Oh, the whoop. Oh, yeah.
There
so
you go.
Here's the thing, boys. Here's the thing. Yeah. Drew Brees just broke his chest. I mean, the guy's coming off 11 broken ribs. Yeah, 11 broken ribs, a punctured lung. He doesn't look like he's there. Now, yes, Kamara had 6 touchdowns, but I don't think they're going to go into – this game is in New Orleans. Okay.
Dude, even if Taysom Hill's the quarterback, I still get the
fine, play. But I don't see him. They're not winning by more than 10 points.
Okay.
It's going to be a close game.
If Drew Brees plays the whole game, they're winning by more than 20. If Taysom Hill has to play, then it'll be a little close.
I see the Saints winning, but they're not covering minus 10. It's going to be close. It's a playoff game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be competitive. I'll give you that whole, like, it's a playoff game scenario.
It's going to be – I think it's going to be close in the fourth quarter. I really do.
If I could just chime in, I don't think that Trubisky is going to score enough points to meet that spread. It's not about the defense. It's just about Trubisky putting up points.
Yeah, but they've been dropping 30 points the last few games.
Okay, but you're just thinking about the Saints' offense too. You know,
no, the defense is good.
I don't think Trubisky's going to turn over the ball once or twice.
I think he's going to play an okay game. I'm not saying Trubisky's going to be a world beater, but they're not losing by more than 10 points.
Trubisky may save his job in this game, but he's
He
ain't saving his job, but he ain't losing by more than 10.
Well, I don't know. I mean, well, maybe not his job with the Bears, but he's definitely going to put on something.
Yeah.
You know, showing some kind of promise. However, he's not winning a playoff game.
And the final game, which I can't wait to watch.
Tanner has something to say, right?
Oh, go ahead, Tanner.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was just going to say my roommate's a huge Bears fan. I've been watching them all year. I hate them. I hate the Bears. I got to say that right up.
I hate my roommate.
Yeah. Yeah. We have some wild nights when the Bears are on. Let's just say that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, I think the Saints are going to take it all day. Trubisky, to me, he's not clutch. I mean, anytime that he has to be in any situation where he needs to make plays, he doesn't make them. And we've been watching that all year. I think that he's going to be looking behind his back too. You know what I mean? Like, he already lost his job once this year. I don't think that they're going to. And I think that I got to agree with Mike. I think that the Saints are going to blow him out.
All right. I'm the lone wolf on this one.
You are.
And the final game, boys, a slobber knocker in the AFC North. You got the Cleveland Browns going to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's favored minus 6. Ashwin, start us off. Final game. What do you think?
See, this was such a difficult choice for me.
Yeah, this is a tough one, man.
I realize how the Steelers have sort of collapsed in those four game stretch, but then they came back against the Colts. So I'm not sure which team is going to show up.
Yeah,
but it's a divisional game, which is huge. The fact that it's the playoffs and it's a divisional opponent. But one thing that I think cannot be underestimated is the playoff experience of Big Ben. He's a Super Bowl champ, multiple Super Bowl rings. And Baker Mayfield, this would be his first playoff game, correct?
Yeah.
I'm
the Browns' first playoff game in 18
years. 20 years, right? Like 20
years.
The
18, I think. 18.
Boy, I feel so good for the Bills not to be in that drought. But anyway. what did you say? How much was the spread on that game?
Spread is 6.
Yeah, I'm riding. Steelers are definitely going to pick up the dub. I'm taking the Browns plus 6 just because it's a division game.
There you go.
All right.
Okay.
Tanner, what do you think?
I think I'm along the same lines as Ashwin. I think it's only because Big Ben is, you know, he's a baller. Like, he comes out when he needs to come out. What worries me about this game, though, is the fact that they did come in on a pretty heavy skid. Yeah, they beat the Colts, but beyond that, I was not liking how they had been playing, how they had been looking at all. And I always side with teams who come into the playoffs hot. I do. And I would not say the Steelers are coming in hot. And so I don't know. And I like, you know, I like Mayfield's demeanor. You know, I've liked it in Oklahoma. I liked it the first game that he played in the NFL. I mean, he came out there and absolutely tore it up. Like, I like the way that he plays football, and I like the way that he plays quarterback. And I think that this being, first of all, the Browns' first game in, what, 18 yeah. or 20 years, you know, right. in the playoffs, and it being his first game, I think that he wants to prove to the entire football world in general that he's the real deal. And so, yeah, I think they're going to keep it really close. And so I'll take the Steelers simply because I think Ben will bring it to the end. But yeah. I think overall it's going to be close. And so, yeah, I think that the Browns plus six, I think that they'll cover for sure.
Okay. Bud Dupree's gone. Devin Bush is gone. I'm not so, I mean, Ben is 38 going into this game. Yeah, I think Mike Tomlin is the most underrated coach in the NFL. I love him. I would wish the Jets get him. I really do. He's a good coach.
Great coach.
Great coach. However,
it's a big however.
I think it's Cleveland's time. I think Cleveland pulls the upset here. I think they pull out a close one in the fourth quarter. I think Mayfield is going to play well. I think he's going to find Jarvis Landry late on a big drive, and I think Cleveland's going to win at plus six on the Browns. Mikey Cato's finish it off, my friend. What do you think?
Interesting. I mean, I was going down those lines, but the Browns and the Steelers played last week, mind you, right? The Steelers did not have to win. So they did not have to show any kind of game plan, nothing. The Browns had to win to get in.
Yeah.
You know, they sat Big Ben. They played with Mason Rudolph. They were formulating their plan. They were watching what the Browns were doing this week. Mm-hmm. Just to get this game, just to even have the chance to play the Steelers this week. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Mike Tomlin is a great coach. I hate Ben with a passion. I don't like him at all. Going on record, live. They both have talented teams. There's no denying it. But the coach with the experience will take it. However, it's going to be very close, just like Tanner and Ashwin said, and I'm going plus six on the Browns only because I feel that they were learning and just strategizing while they were playing the Browns last week. And they almost beat them.
If Odell Beckham was in this game, would that change any of your decisions if Odell was playing?
Yeah, I'd take the Steelers because I think they try to feed him. He'd try to go Hollywood and they try to feed him the ball. It'd be a disaster.
Well, if Odell was playing, I don't think the Browns are in the playoffs.
Wow. Well, yeah, he's.
I mean, let's. It might not even be a game. Like they might be playing the Dolphins right now, or the Ravens, and then the Dolphins would be playing the Bills or whatever the case is. Yeah. But yeah, it's Tomlin who's going to reign supreme at the end of the day.
Well, there you have it, folks. Those are our picks for playoff weekend. We want to thank Tanner Johnson for coming on, Tanner, giving us some picks.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Yeah, Ashwin, thank you for coming on tonight, man. Really appreciate it. Hope
Bills Mafia.
And hope you can come back again.
We got some.
Oh, here we go.
16 parlay. Bills win by 1 to 13 points. Okay. Seahawks win by 1 to 13 points. Okay, we got that. Bucks win by 14 or more.
See, that's where you lose right there.
No, you lose that one. Titans win by 1 to 13. I have the Ravens winning.
Yeah.
Saints winning by 1 to 13. No, they're going to win by more.
No, they're
Steelers win by one. Winning by 14. No. That's a losing parlay, Shane.
Yeah. Shane.
Sorry.
Try again.
What are you going to wager? Because you could just send it over here.
Yeah, donate to the cause. Donate to the
place the bet for you. Just send it over here. We got connections. But yeah, Tanner, Ashwin, thank you very much, guys, for joining us. Yeah, we're gonna go over some news and notes, and then we'll wrap up in just a few minutes. But thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you,
Ashwin. Always come back, man. Tanner,
by all means.
All right, hey, thank you guys so much.
Can I go through the table now?
Yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, you can go through that table.
All right. See you later, guys.
All right. Hey. Oh, man. That was a fun show. That was a fun one, man.
That was. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So...
So yeah, I want to,
I mean, on the picks, but you know, let's talk about something real quick, because it just came out, you know, through the wire the other day that we're talking about the parlays and we're talking, you know, placing bets. New York State.
Yep.
They are, Governor Cuomo is pushing to legalize online betting in New York State. They're going to vote on it sometime this week or next week. I think it is. And dude, I hope we can get it approved, and I don't know how long it's going to take for it to actually get rolling. Obviously, we're not going to be betting NFL football games right now because it's going to take a while to get that infrastructure set up, but I think it's just about time that they finally open their eyes to the revenue that it can bring in to the state. I mean, Jersey's killing it right now
with
the revenue, and I think New York can definitely usurp Jersey's numbers because, I mean –
You know, everybody's going to Jersey.
I mean, New York's huge. I mean, you got to remember, like, the upstate New York has got, you know, plenty of people up there, and you know, it's like forgotten, and all they need to do is go on their mobile phone and go on their laptops, and they can place a bet. They don't have to go across state lines and whatnot, and not for nothing. People are, because you're not going to stop people from sports betting. People are going from New York to Jersey, and there's a pandemic going on, but they have to make their bets, and that's the only way they can make their bets. So this will help keep people safer and give more revenue to New York State. So I think it's a no-brainer, Rick.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man, especially what the city's going through now, you know, with the loss of revenue. I mean, there's no revenue coming into the state. They're going to, you know, obviously the government's going to have to pass a big massive relief bill and get some funds to the state, but this is going to be good for the state, man, because you know, I got friends who go to the FanDuel place in Jersey, and they, you know, once you can let people in there, they'll be able to go have food and drinks and eat and sit down, watch games, what have you. And they literally tell me when they go over the GW, once they hit Jersey, like their phones open up and it's just like jackpot hits. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's about time that New York State, you know, legalized gambling here. You know, I mean, they're just losing revenue to Jersey. And you know, it'll be great once people will be able to start going out and have spots here in New York, FanDuel spots, DraftKings spots where people can go and gamble and do their thing. I think it's a no-brainer. And not, I mean, look, 2 years ago we lost Amazon, so there goes $27 billion in revenue that we just lost, right? So this is they got to make for some way. This is the way to do it. So I am a big proponent of it, and it'll be a lot safer and good for the state of New York. Good for Governor Cuomo. Finally, get something right.
Yeah, I mean it's major news and it's game changing. Just hope it all goes through.
Yeah, and if you can indulge me for 2 minutes, Mike,
go.
I can just go for 2 minutes.
Let's talk once about again, your Knickerbockers. Let's go,
my beloved New York Knicks.
Knickerbockers.
Yeah, down. They were down 18, if I'm not mistaken, last night against the Utah Jazz, who just got spanked by the Nets the night before, and a man by the name of Austin Rivers comes off the bench and leads my beloved team back. And in the last, what was it? 2-3 minutes of that game, scores, just goes unconscious from three, leads the team. And this is not the same old Knicks that's been losing. No, this team has fight. This team has grit. This team has passion. This team plays defense like the city wants them to play. We live through the Knicks. Like, I love the Knicks. Like, I watch every game. I watched again last night, and they are 5-3. They are playing unbelievable basketball. They're playing defense. They get Oklahoma City tomorrow night, and I got to tell you, man, there's something brewing with this team. This is a good team. Alex Burks, he's going to be in a boot for about 10 days, but you know, got an ankle injury. But once Obi comes back from that calf strain. You know, and then Norland Zawal comes back from his knee injury, get some reinforcements because right now they got an 8-man rotation. Julius Randle's playing all-star level. RJ Barrett's bullying people in the post. I mean, IQ is just, you know, running all over the place. This kid Austin Rivers is amazing. The New York Knicks are a bona fide playoff team, and it's just incredible to watch. You can't take your eyes off it. They're fun. I'm pumped. And, you know, I just want to give a shout out to the New York Knicks. So kudos to you guys. Great job. And keep it going. Tomorrow night, I might get a pizza and watch.
There you go.
Yeah. I already got two jerseys in the cart for NBA shop. One a Toby Obi jersey and one an IQ jersey. But I might get a Rivers jersey the way that kid's playing, you know, coming up. But yeah. Gotta love the Knicks, man. I've been waiting to talk for them for about 20 years, and they just every day I wake up, they get a win, they play well. It's incredible.
Do you think that the colors blue and orange will be the colors of 21? 2021?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I think the blue and orange will be the colors of the Roaring 20s.
There we go. I like the sound of that.
I think we're coming into an era now.
And yep. We got.
Listen, I'm a Yankee fan.
Right here. But I'm not. So. Okay. Listen, you've had your time.
Yeah.
All right? With your boring off-white and navy blue.
Hey, listen, man. Boring wins. You understand? Boring wins.
Yeah, they did win, but
yeah, it's 127 of those titles. But yeah, no, I honestly think the Roaring 20s, blue and orange, is going to be big. It's going to be back.
You were alive for all 27, right?
Yeah, I think I've aged well. No, I've been alive for
yeah, because when you win, you age better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've been alive for let's see, 77, 78.
Dude, I'm like 10 years younger than you, yet I look older than you because I'm a Mets fan.
It's the stress.
We even out with the Jets.
I got a couple of grades for the Jets. But no, come to think, you know, now that we think about it, 77, 78. And then I had 96. That's 3. 98, 99, 2000. That's 6. 09. So I've been alive for 7 Yankees World Championships.
Okay.
And nothing else. Not a freaking Super Bowl. Not an NBA title. Oh, and the Rangers hockey. That's what I have.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, well, more than, I mean, I was alive for a Mets World Series, but I was one. So I definitely don't remember. I couldn't get my, the bottle out fast enough to watch the Mookie Betts play. I mean, Mookie Wilson, Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
All right,
Vin Scully.
Yeah. So, we have, any quick news that we need to get to before we sign off?
I think I was just reading on the wire. Diggs and Beasley are questionable for the game against the Colts.
Oh,
that's a big one.
Yeah, that's I think Diggs was going to play last I saw, but I don't know.
Packers are allowing 6,000 fans in the stadium.
Fans. I wonder if that. Oh, you know what? I do want to talk about one quick thing.
Yeah.
So, no matter who gets to, the Super Bowl after the championship games, why should they implement a Super Bowl bubble?
You know the
Super Bowl. Listen to this, right?
Yes.
So say it's, Chiefs, Packers, whatever.
Yeah.
They have to be down there in Tampa by Monday night. Right. And they have to spend those 2 weeks in the Tampa area. And just, 15 miles away is an actual bubble. Yeah. NBA bubble was 15 miles away from there. Yeah. It's a 20-minute drive from Tampa to the, to the Orlando, bubble where the NBA was played. Mm-hmm. So they have all the accommodations there. I mean, I'm sure they can work together, figure something out. But, just let's say that somebody, goes out and whatever. Like, obviously, you're champions. You're AFC champions, NFC champions. They're going to want to go and party. You know, obviously, it's ill-advised at this point. But, let's say Patrick Mahomes, God forbid, gets COVID. Or, Tyreek Hill goes out and gets COVID and it's 8 days till game day.
Right.
Because they have to be there the whole last week, correct, for press?
Right.
Or is it all 2 weeks that they have to be there?
It's just like, no, they're just there for the last week. They're just there for 1 week, right? You know, media night. What's media day? Media day is like a Tuesday or Tuesday night or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think it's like Tuesday or Wednesday. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is that they have that bubble set up for the NBA over there. Like, I feel like there could be some kind of ways to, you know, collaborate and make sure that the Super Bowl goes out off without a hitch. But what are your thoughts on that?
No, I'm going to agree with you on this because they're going to Florida, and Florida is, I mean, that place is wide open. Like, there's no mask requirements, wide open bars. And these guys are going to be tempted to go out, man. I mean, you're down there in Tampa. You're going to want to go out. You want to do things. And the last thing the league needs is a Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers was hanging out, COVID positive, or Tyreek Hill's hanging out or something like that. Like, you or Kelsey. Like, you don't want, you know.
See, I don't know if it's going to be any of the marquee players, but.
You never know, man. I mean, you never know. But,
some of those backups could go out and, you know, and then come in close contact with the other ones.
Right.
And then, you know, then the shit hits the fan. Because I think, like, you know, obviously, like, Mahomes and Kelsey.
Well,
and,
yeah, Mahomes won't go out. He's got his wife and his baby.
He's got a baby. So, like, I'm not worried about that. But the close contact is the thing you have to worry about. And to get everyone in just one, you know, confined space, you know, that was built to hold how many teams were there?
Like
16?
16, yeah.
So, like, you know, there's definitely the resources there that they can, you know, make sure that they implement that. And I hope that they're, you know, thinking about it. I haven't seen anything of that, of the sort, but we should call Roger Goodell and tell him.
Yeah. Roger, come on the show. Let's talk about it. No, I just think that I don't know that they're going to put him in a bubble. I mean, they might have a bubble down there for the Super Bowl, but I don't know that, you know, you're going to do that for the Super Bowl. I think the teams will have their designated areas like they always do for the Super Bowl. There's going to be fans in the stands. I think the NFL just got to find a way to get through that week, man. And just, you know, and if they can pull it off, man, that's a great job by the league. You know, with all the travel and all the crap that's gone on and players and all that stuff, for them to get to Tampa and be able to pull off a Super Bowl with two great teams, I think that's a great job.
Yeah. Everybody out there, let us know your thoughts. You know, what should they do? Should they have a Super Bowl bubble? You know, let us know and tweet us at the Fans Pod.
I think you there?
Yeah.
No, I was going to say eventually as this show evolves, we got to get like a call in line, like at a toll line. You just start taking some calls.
And remember, we're going to be going on the road too. So
yes, live. So we hope you guys join us out there, you know, tailgates and, you know, live from God knows where, you know,
World Series suites at Citi Field.
Yeah. You will see us in LA next year, by the way, people, just so you know. Yeah.
sorry. I need some more water.
There you go.
Where's the champagne? I don't know.
Here we go. All right. Take it easy.
But, all right. Everybody, enjoy Super Wild Card Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Rick, enjoy an additional Knicks win tomorrow night.
That's right, baby. Let's go, Knicks. Go, New York.
Damn right. Blue and orange. Blue and orange.
There you go.
It sounds better than black and yellow. I'm not going to lie. But anyway, have a good night, everybody. We will see you Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Another great show in store for you. We will recap the wonderful slate of games on Wild Card Weekend. I hope you guys have a happy and healthy weekend.
Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Stay safe. Peace.